listener production.
I can't stop thinking about the statistics I mentioned in my previous episode with Lindy Cohen. Half of Aussie girls are on a diet by the time they're 11 years old. You know, if you run because you love it, because it makes you feel good, it's easier to stick with it, right? You just adjust to it. You embrace the challenges that come with it. If you're wanting to run or wanting to do any kind of exercise for the purpose of losing weight, I think your happiness is going to take a hit. And this is why we put so much focus on just taking those small incremental steps in Run With Taria, because I want you to like it, and I want you to like how your body feels when you're doing it as well. And fueling your body and nourishing your body, that's a big part of that. So Lindy Cohen, aka the Nude Nutritionist, she's back again today to give us some insight into how we can stop the toxic cycle of dieting and work on building our health. Because remember, health, it's not a destination, it's a journey. You said earlier that BMI was bullshit. Why? Because I feel like that's like an objective measurement that doctors use.
And
like they always want to know what your BMI is.
Yeah, and I can fully understand how BMI has been so widely used. It's very simple. If I'm in my doctor's office, for them to go, oh, what's your height and what's your weight? These are two metrics I can very easily gather. And then I'm going to plot you and just see where you fit in. It tells us nothing about our health. A lot of research is coming out now, more and more research that's showing us that you can exist in a larger body and you can be incredibly healthy and you can be skinny, and yet you can be have incredibly unhealthy habits. You could smoke, you could party all the time, you could only eat takeaway, but you exist in a smaller body. So you turn up to your doctor and they go, you're healthy. That's clearly nonsense. What we know is people who exist in a larger body, who have healthy habits, they're exercising regularly, they're eating more vegetables, they're cooking at home, these habits, they outlive people who are in the quote unquote healthy weight range, who have got all these unhealthy habits. Your weight is far less of a predictor of your health than we ever thought it was. And what really gets to me, and Taryn Brumfitt, the Australian of the Year at the moment, she's very much on this crusade, because what happens is we turn up to our doctor's appointment and we might say, hey, I've got this ailment, and they go, you need to lose weight, and we get completely neglected by our doctors. As a result, we avoid healthcare, which is detrimental, because we just feel shamed and blamed, and no one's giving us the right tools. And so I think that is so problematic. We need to stop thinking that health can be assessed with BMI. It's total bullshit. Just think about the Olympians for a moment. You know, these are the world's healthiest people, but so many of them are going to have a quote unquote unhealthy BMI. And I think it's just a really great example of how the BMI is bullshit. Please stop listening to yours. The way we can measure health is so much more complicated and beautiful. It's whether or not you wake up with energy. Do you fall asleep easily at night, or is your brain just thinking about calories and macros? Can you race after your kids? How is your biomarkers looking? You know, your cholesterol levels, all that kind of stuff. That does matter. How many serves of vegetables are you eating? But it does not come down to your height and your weight plotted onto a chart.
I've got some friends who are bigger bodied, and they say the same thing. Like when they go to a doctor for something that's completely unrelated, the first thing the doctor will say is, you need to lose weight. And, you know, Grace, I work with Grace. I remember once she went to a doctor and the doctor said, you need to exercise more, you need to lose weight. And she said, well, I'm actually training for a trail run, which is 25 kilometers. So I think I'm pretty good on the exercise front. What I'm here for is about, you know, whatever problem she was there for. But it's like, it's so disheartening, because unless you're a super witty woman like Grace, who can just come back at the doctor with a really sharp retort, I can see that you would avoid healthcare, because you'd go there and you'd be made to feel like, once again, you're a failure and you're not worthy.
This is a little digress, but I just want to talk about this idea of disordered eating and how prevalent it is. So some research shows us that 80% of women have some degree of disordered eating, which is, that is the majority, that is the norm. If you don't, you are a unicorn. I don't know how you did it, but well done you. Now, if you think about who is more likely to become someone like a nutritionist or a dietitian, it's someone who has a big interest in nutrition and health. And the likelihood of them having disordered eating is far greater than the general population. some research has just come out showing the likelihood of, you know, a nutritionist or a dietitian having disordered eating is like through the roof. It's like the chance was, I think it was up to 97% of the students that they asked had some degree of orthorexia, preoccupation with things being healthy. They feared sugar. They had all these hang-ups. And so think about your healthcare professionals. People who are going into health may be more likely to have these prejudices or this disordered eating. And I think that is a very important thing. I don't want you to scare you away from it, but I want you to think about, when I see someone on Facebook, a nutritionist, a guru, who's telling me to cut out all my sugar and doing, you know, to exercise more and all these food rules, just query their relationship with food, because unfortunately we're in a state where the people we are looking up to for health advice have disordered eating, and it's glorified, and we're told that this is what we should be chasing, and I find it scary. I find it deeply problematic, and I'm the first to admit that I became a dietitian because I thought it was the perfect profession to help me lose weight, the perfect profession to help me control what I eat, and it would force me to always look my best, and that came from such an eating disorder place. I ended up recovering and getting to a point where only once I'd recovered was I willing to see patients and actually become an eating disorder dietitian. But there are thousands, majority of our healthcare professionals who have not yet done that work. So just take that information sometimes with a grain of salt, and that's a them problem, not a you problem.
We always get asked in Run With Tria, which is my running program, you know, like, will running help me lose weight? Is this a weight loss program? And we always say, no, it's not a weight loss program. And you might lose weight, but you also might put on weight. Like, that's not one of the outcomes of Run With Tria. But the feedback we get from our members once they're inside the program, and we talk about you all the time as well in the program too, Lindy. I know our members all love your philosophy. So much of the feedback we get in the program is that it's amazing to have a safe space where there's no talk of weight or calories or how people are reducing their calorie count at breakfast. It's just like, just eat when you need to, eat stuff that makes you feel good. I love your crowd, your plate philosophy. We can talk about that as well. And move your body, and everything else will work itself out.
The challenge I sometimes have with people who are starting something like running and who have experienced diet culture is that they're a bit worried to eat more. They're scared to fuel their body. And they think that a healthy meal is a salad with leaves and stuff. And sure, leaves are healthy and vegetables are healthy, but you need to eat a meal that is both physically and emotionally satisfying. And that is very important. And it's not how many calories are on the plate, but what is going to leave you feeling full. And yes, we want to crowd in healthy foods. And just quickly, the idea of crowding is, instead of creating a list of all the forbidden foods and then, you know, dreaming about the foods and eventually eating them out of control, it's instead about crowding in more of the healthy stuff that you want to fill up on. Naturally, you might crowd out the less healthy stuff, but without even thinking about it. So the question is not what should you eat less of. People are always like, I want to eat less sugar, I want to eat less carbs. Nonsense. You don't have to do that. What I want you to think about is, what do you want to eat more of? Are you hitting your 1 to 2 serves of fruit a day? Are you aiming for 5 to 10 serves of veggies a day? And yes, that's a lot of veggies. Are you aiming for it? Whole grains, carbohydrates, slow burning, low GI, that kind of yummy stuff that gives us that nice fuel source. We want to be crowding in that stuff, and that's really important. And I just want to touch on this idea that you don't have to lose weight to start running. You don't have to look a certain way to be a runner. Anyone can be a runner. If you literally just go for a little shuffle, you are already a runner. And so stop waiting to lose the weight to live your life. Stop hiding out of photos, start turning up, go for the swim. No one cares. I think so often body image stuff holds us back from living our life. And I think in Run With Tria, in the Facebook group, which is so supportive, you're seeing women, they're not being held back by what they think they need to look like. They are out there, they are living it, they are doing it, and they are runners simply by turning up. And I find it very inspirational.
How do we demonstrate to ourselves that we respect our body? Like, can you do that with your food choices?
We don't sacrifice health to weigh less. That's an important thing. That's a really important thing.
Amen.
So often we are being told to do that. It's something like even like counting calories where you have to turn up and plot how many calories you've eaten in a day on the app and then it controls your every thought.
Yeah.
I think the mental load of that is far too great. That is not worth it.
That's so fucked.
We're not allowed. It's so messed up. I always say don't sacrifice 95% of your life to weigh 5% less. What I want is for you to adopt these healthy habits that feel good. And so the question you need to ask yourself is, even if I didn't lose weight, would I still do this habit? Let's take running, for example. If you started running and you found after 2 weeks of running that you hadn't lost weight, would you keep running? I want the answer to be yes, because you're running because you like the energy it gives you, the headspace. You like the me time, all the beautiful things that we do for running. But if the only reason you're running is to lose weight, well, when you've lost the weight, you're not going to keep running. And if you don't lose weight, you weight plateau, you gain weight, you're absolutely quitting running right then and there.
Yeah.
So we have to stop attaching health goals to weight loss goals. It's very important.
You've got a really great program. It's called the Keep It Real program. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Keep It Real program is everything I wish someone had told me when I was struggling with binge eating. When I felt totally out of control with food, when I blamed my willpower, I thought there was something very intrinsically wrong with me. I thought, if I could just try harder, if I had more self-restraint, I would stop binge eating. And so the more I binged, the more I doubled down on trying to eat less. I'd go, I need to exercise more. I need to make up for all this food I just ate by not eating tomorrow. And so by nightfall, here I was again binging, or even by morning sometimes I was binging again. And so Keep It Real is a step-by-step program to help you go from binge eating. I was binge eating multiple times a day. So it doesn't matter how much you're binge eating, what degree it's at. And it's about helping you get to the point where you slowly reduce your binge eating, reduce the binges, reduce how frequently they happen until one day I get you to a point where you no longer binge eat. You just eat normally again. I bet you don't even know what normal eating feels like anymore. And so it's not a diet. It is the opposite of the diet. In fact, I don't tell you what to eat in the program. That's the thing that I think most might surprise people. I tell you how to eat and why we eat. There's way too much focus in the health world about what to eat and not nearly enough focus on the psychology behind eating. So this is what that program is. And I hold your hand. I've been in there. So I really give a shit. I really care about my clients in it. And so you get one-on-one support from me inside the program because I care. And it is a great program. It's been going for 5 years and thousands of people have done it. And I'm very proud of it.
Lindy will be back with us on a future episode of Tarea Pitt's Pep Talk. In the meantime, go and give her a follow on Instagram at nude_nutritionist. She also has a website where you can find out more about her book, Your Weight Is Not the Problem. I highly, highly recommend this book. And she's got a podcast, No Wellness Wankery. I've been a guest on her podcast. It's a banger. She's also got a Keep It Real program where you can learn how to stop binge eating for good. So head to lindycohen.com to find out more information about all of those. Thanks for listening to Tarea Pitt's Pep Talk. Follow to get new pep talks every day. Listener.